That was easy enough, for Danish rule was light in our part of Mercia. But every few weeks some Danes would come to Chirencester and demand cattle or food or silver, and he had little choice but to pay. In truth, he did not look north to the impotent King Burgred as his lord, but south to Wessex. And had I possessed any intelligence in those days, I would have understood that Alfred was extending his influence over those southern parts of Mercia. The influence was not obvious. No West Saxon soldiers patrolled the country, but Alfred's messengers were forever riding and talking to the chief men, persuading them to bring their warriors south if the Danes attacked Wessex again. I should have been wary of those West Saxon envoys, but I was too caught up in the intrigues of Ethelred's household to pay them any notice. The Ealdorman did not like me much, but his eldest son, also called Ethelred, detested me. He was a year younger than I, but very conscious of his dignity, and a great hater of the Danes. He was also a great hater of Breda, mainly because he tried to hump her and got a knee in the groin for his trouble, and after that she was put to work in Ealdorman Ethelred's kitchens, and she warned me the very first day not to touch the gruel. I did not, but the rest of the table all suffered from liquid bowels for the next 2 days, thanks to the elderberries and iris root she had added to the pot. The younger Ethelred and I were forever quarrelling, though he was more careful after I beat him with my fists the day I found him whipping Breda's dog. I was a nuisance to my uncle. I was too young, too big, too loud, too proud, too undisciplined, but I was also a family member and a lord, and so Ealdorman Ethelred endured me and was happy to let me chase Welsh raiders with Tatooine. We almost always failed to catch them. I came back from one such pursuit late at night and let a servant rub down the horse while I went to find food, and instead, of all people, discovered Father Willibald in the hall where he was sitting close to the embers of the fire. I did not recognise him at first, nor did he know me when I walked in all sweaty with a leather coat, long boots, a shield and 2 swords. I just saw a figure by the fire. "Anything to eat there?" I asked, hoping I would not have to light a tallow candle and grope through the servants sleeping in the kitchen. "Uhtred," he said, and I turned and peered through the gloom. Then he whistled like a blackbird and I recognised him. "Is that Breda with you?" the young priest asked. She was also in leather, with a Welsh sword strapped to her waist. Neat Genga ran to Willibald, whom he had never met, and allowed himself to be stroked. Tatooine and the other warriors all tramped in, but Willibald ignored them. "I hope you're well, Uhtred." "I'm well, father," I said. "And you?" "I'm very well," he said. He smiled, obviously wanting me to ask why he had come to Ethelred's hall, but I pretended to be uninterested. "You didn't get into trouble for losing us?" I asked him instead.
"The Lady Elswith was very angry," he admitted. "But Alfred seemed not to mind. He did chide Father Beorca, though."
"Beorca? Why?"
"Because Beorca had persuaded him you wanted to escape the Danes, and Beorca was wrong. Still, no harm done," he smiled. "And now Alfred has sent me to find you."
I squatted close to him. It was late summer, but the night was surprisingly chilly, so I threw another log onto the fire so that sparks flew up, and a puff of smoke drifted into the high beams. "Alfred sent you," I said flatly. "He still wants to teach me to read?"
"He wants to see you, Lord."
I looked at him suspiciously. I called myself a lord, and so I was by birthright, but I was well imbued with the Danish idea that lordship was earned, not given, and I had not earned it yet. Still, Willibald was showing respect. "Why does he want to see me?" I asked.
"He would talk with you," Willibald said. "And when the talk is done, you are free to come back here, or indeed go anywhere else you wish."